Let's pray and we'll get started. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the chance to return to your house and to return to your words. Please help us now as we get into your word that we be able to understand it. As we get further into this study of the prophecies and what needs to be fulfilled next and what we have to look forward to as Christians and what the world has to be scared about if they don't become yours before it may be everlasting too late. And please be with us now as we get into your word. Help us to understand it and apply it to our lives and share it with others, and most of all, grow closer to you. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our last day's prophecy study, we went through the section or the item number one on our list there about the rapture rather quickly, but we're going to go back and touch on some things to get into some further detail on that. There's a lot of various belief systems when it comes to the rapture, whether there's even going to be a rapture, when it's going to occur, and so forth. Some people call the second coming the rapture, but the rapture is not the second coming. The second coming is when the Lord comes down and sets up the millennial period. So we can see through the scriptures and find more details that help us realize that the rapture is going to occur, that there will be a great gathering together, that there will be a time where we are caught up or taken up to be with the Lord. And that will be for a 7-year period, and we will return with him at his second coming and set up the millennial kingdom. But we know that during that time that we are with the Lord, the tribulation time they call it, there will be a lot going on here on earth. But let's go back and look at some of that we touched on, such as over in Luke chapter 21. In Luke chapter 21 is where Luke records the prophecies that we also find in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. In Luke chapter 21 verse 8, we see where the Lord's answering those questions that the disciples had asked him. It reads, "And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, and delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye souls, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of the vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distresses of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. As we go through this, you can see and pick up on clues and hints of how this timeline is being laid out. He gives them clues that are about different events taking place at different times. Things that will occur prior to the rapture, things that are occurring right now, things that are occurring during the tribulation time, and things that will begin right at the end of the tribulation. And he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. He wraps it up so well with verse 36. He gives them a quick glimpse into the future. Future events that are going to be multi-layered. And the warning there at the end. And in that warning, in verse 36, is an awesome clue about the timeline. Where it says, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. The things that he's speaking of there that are going to be fulfilled during the great judgment upon this world, as Luke calls it, vengeance, in verse 22, are going to be the judgments that come during the tribulation time. And in order to be counted worthy to escape those, there are two things that can occur. You can be born again and raptured up prior to the beginning of all those sorrows. Or you can be part of the beginning of it and get saved during the tribulation time and be taken into the sheltered area of Megiddo and be found worthy to escape the judgments that are going to be on this planet so severe that the entire planet would be annihilated if it wasn't limited to the 7 years that he speaks of. And over in 2 Thessalonians, let's look at something here while we're on this subject. There'll be a time, and has been, where people start getting confused about the rapture, when it's going to occur. There's even been teaching that it had already occurred. All the way back there at the time of Paul writing this letter to Thessalonica, there was already a teaching that was going out that they had missed the rapture. And Paul addresses this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto you, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as for us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let them know. Don't be shook up about these things that we're hearing, that we're seeing being fulfilled and what we know are going to be fulfilled and the events that are going to take place, the judgments upon this planet. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now this verse 3 here, where it talks about a falling away, has been interpreted a couple different ways. One of them is that they're saying that the falling away is the rapture itself. Others are saying that it would be a great falling away of any acknowledgement of God and any worship of Jesus Christ. And that also can be a result of the rapture. A great falling away would be a great removal of any love shown toward the Lord. And that will occur when all His believers are taken out of this world. So in that you can see both of those actually can indicate the same event, the rapture occurring. And it says, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The son of perdition is the Antichrist. The Antichrist will be revealed. As we further study this, you can see at the time of his revealing will be when he is risen up to a point of a great world leader and initiates the signing of a treaty with Israel. The actual signing of that treaty initiates the clock of the 7-year tribulation. Many believe, and we'll see as we further study this and get into talking about the Battle of Gog and Magog, that this treaty is what's going to be signed at the end of the Battle of Gog and Magog. The Lord Himself will end that battle with a great hailstone storm, but then there'll be a government official that'll step up and try to take credit for the ending of that and try to say that we need to have peace, so let's sign this treaty. And that individual is the son of perdition that steps up to that position. And he will be considered a world leader. As we continue, you'll see he's the one that winds up being set up as the Antichrist and will be worshipped and have that statue built of him and so forth, and put himself as God on the throne in Jerusalem. But as we continue here in verse 4, let's read 3 again so we see how it flows properly. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that point where he sets himself in the temple is going to be the midpoint of the tribulation. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. What'd you say? That's some tongue-twisting, mind-boggling verse right there. What does all that mean? The mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. A lot of study been done on this. Who is the he speaking of here? And being taken out of the way, what is that all about? Well, through all the research of the scholars that have studied this section here, say that this is a reference to the Holy Ghost being taken out of the scene. And by that is the influence and the effect of having millions and millions of Christians taken out suddenly that are all filled with the Holy Ghost. That influence, that power that is now on this planet will be removed. The influence of and the effect and the usefulness, the way that the Holy Ghost currently works, will be reverted back to the way it was prior to Jesus Christ giving us the blessing of the Holy Ghost after His death, burial, resurrection, and ascension on the day of Pentecost. When currently you receive Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, the Holy Ghost comes into you instantly. That influence of all of those that are now currently filled with the Holy Ghost will be taken off of this planet, and there will be no one left at that time that is totally filled with the Holy Ghost as we are, that are born again. Until those individuals start to be saved during the tribulation time. But the Antichrist will not have the ability to be able to rise up to his power, or could not at this point, because the influence of the Holy Ghost on so many people in this world today. He would not be trusted. He would not be lifted up to that position. But by taking away all of those individuals that are filled with the Holy Ghost, takes away all those individuals that are filled with the enlightenment and the intellect that would realize the deceiver and recognize this deceiver. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now that's what's going to happen. He will be destroyed. The Antichrist will be destroyed at the end of the tribulation time and be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. As it continues in verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, speaking of the Antichrist again, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. This is speaking of those who do not believe in Jesus Christ and Lord and Savior, who will follow the deceiving teachings and lying tongue of the Antichrist. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So at that moment of the tribulation, when all that influence of the Holy Ghost is taken off of this planet, all of those that are left behind after the tribulation, that have reached that point of accountability, that have been given an opportunity that the Lord feels was fair for them to have come to know Him as Lord and Savior, everyone that is at that point, and only the Lord knows those, only He can determine that, but all of those, that door has been closed to them. All of those, as he speaks of, that are reprobate, will be given a strong delusion. They will fall completely and totally for the teachings of the Antichrist against the influence of the Holy Ghost, and they will be damned, as it says, they that did not choose, as it says in verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So all those that wanted to stay in their unrighteous ways, turned it down, turned it down, turned it down. There comes a time when that door closes. When that door closes to all those that have been given that opportunity prior to the event of the rapture, they will be given a strong delusion as they enter into the tribulation time. They will be those that will follow the Antichrist fully and completely, trusting in Him, and will not believe the teachings that will be given them. They want to believe the lie because they're having pleasure in their unrighteousness. As he continues in verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. It's awesome that we've been given the awesome opportunity to be able to become part of His sanctified group. That's those that are set aside for a special purpose to be used, that will be used now and in the millennial period. When we get raptured up, we will all have a special purpose, sanctification, a calling and ordination that we will, when we return with Him during the millennial period, put into work. And work and serve Him to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. That's a little glimpse, a little clue about what he's talking about there. All right, so we see how when a tribulation occurs, all those that are left behind will be given that strong delusion that they're going to believe a lie. Turn back now over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's return and look at this section here again about the rapture itself. Those that are most quoted in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Look a little closer at this. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." This being ignorant is without knowledge and understanding and knowing what's going to happen. He wants us to be informed. He wants us to understand that we can have hope, that we can have comfort. And when we have a loved one or an acquaintance or know someone who has passed away prior to the event of the rapture, we don't have to worry about that. He calls them those that are asleep here, those that are asleep in Christ, as someone who has passed away, who has left this realm and is now with the Lord, and are now identified in this verse as those that are asleep or that sleep. It reads, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will God bring with him." He's going to bring those souls and spirits with him. He's going to be there in the clouds. As it continues, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." This is where some people get confused, where it speaks of the coming of the Lord. They think, okay, this is the second coming. No, the one that is identified as the second coming is when he comes down and actually puts his foot right on this planet. This event here is coming into the clouds as he continues and tells us about this. And he's telling us that we which are alive and remain at that time shall not prevent. Go back again like we spoke of. If you look at this word prevent, Old English, it was not to proceed before. In other words, we will wait our turn. Those that are already separated from their physical bodies, when this event takes place, the Lord's going to have with them. They will receive their glorified bodies first. Then we, which are alive and remain at that time, will then receive our glorified bodies. Like, that's a lot of people. That's going to take a lot of time. No, it's going to be surprisingly quick. Because as it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in a moment and a twinkling of an eye, it's all going to happen pretty quick. Faster than you can even blink. But yet he's still giving us how this is going to unfold. "That remain until the second coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." Being caught up is where they get the, or where we have the understanding of the word rapture. Because the word rapture means to be caught up. It's a Latin word coming from the Latin Vulgate. The word rapture is actually a transliteration of a Latin word, but it means to be caught up or gathered up. Gathered up where? Together with them in the clouds. In the clouds, because when the Lord comes to rapture his church, they're going to be in the clouds, not setting up the millennial kingdom. Because we have to go to the Lord for the judgment seat of the Christ, be judged prior to the millennial kingdom. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Once we are reunited with Him, we'll never be separated from Him ever again for eternity. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And those are very, very comforting words that we can always latch on to and reassure each other with and know that we have so much to look forward to as Christians as we enter into that, because as it says over in Hebrews, for it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, and the judgment is speaking of the judgment seat of Christ, which will be initiated at the moment, at the end of the tribulation time. We will go up to be with the Lord. We'll enter into that judgment seat of Christ, and there'll be a great supper of the Lamb, a marriage where the church is married to the Lord and will never be separated ever again. It's where all of our works that we perform will be looked at so that we can be given our positions that we will then initiate when we come down the millennial period and go into that time serving the Lord. All right, now the tribulation will be such a cataclysmic event that it is going to remove so many people in this world, so many world leaders, governments, military, police, officials of all sorts, scholars and teachers, that it will cause chaos on the planet. And that chaos will trigger the battle of Gog and Magog. And that battle must be accomplished prior to the beginning of the tribulation time. Now, this is theoretical because there is no clear timeline given to us in the scriptures of the dates of when the battle of Gog and Magog are going to occur. Some think that it's later. Some think that it's during the tribulation. Some think that it overflows into the tribulation. But if you lay it out in the order of the things that we give the clues, or we have the clues of, it has to occur prior to the beginning of the tribulation time, where it speaks of the burning of the weapons, that it takes 7 years for the weapons to be burned. So we know that the Battle of Gog and Magog cannot occur during the tribulation, because the tribulation is only going to be 7 years. And at the end of the tribulation period, the Lord's going to restore this planet, make it a glorious, beautiful place to live, and you wouldn't have a big stockpile of toxic weapons being burned during that time. So they have to be completely burned up prior to the beginning of the millennial period. Therefore, you do the math, and it has to happen before the tribulation time. So that is the trigger, which makes logical sense that the trigger that would initiate the signing of the treaty was a great war. The great war being the Battle of Gog and Magog, which occurs directly or immediately prior to the beginning of the tribulation. So we'll get further into those details as next time we start studying about the Battle of Gog and Magog. But we're out of time, so let's go ahead and close. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It is so powerful. These little clues, these hints about the last days that you give us, help us to be hungry to dig deep into there to find those so that we can have clarity of them, so we can give a clear warning to those out there that have not yet trusted you. We can show them the signs around that it shows that it can't be much longer until you do return and get us, and rapture us up, and take us to that glorious supper that you speak of, and that wonderful time of judgment, so you can give us the rewards of what we have to look forward to for eternity. Lead, guide, and direct every step that we take as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank y'all.